This is The Record on KUOW. I'm Ross Reynolds. The new chief, of course, will inherit the task of fulfilling the consent decree with the federal government to address excessive use of force. There are three candidates, and this week we've heard from all of them. Today, Kathleen O'Toole, the third and final candidate. She used to be the commissioner of the Boston Police Department. As you just heard, the Seattle Police Department reporting that between 2005 and 2013, a 49% drop in misdemeanor crimes filed in court. So I got started with Kathleen O'Toole by asking, if she were chief, what questions would she have about that dramatic drop?
I'd want to know why they weren't aware of this before now. I think that it's really important that a police chief and police managers have real-time information. So they're monitoring activity levels on a day-to-day basis, not on a month-to-month basis or a year-to-year basis.
Well, to some, it validates the anecdotes they've been hearing from the Seattle Police Department that because of what's been going on with reforms at the police department to comply with the consent decree with the federal government, police have just been backing off. They say this shows that is the case. Have you found in the other case where you worked with the police department that was also dealing with a consent decree, that became an issue, that the police, because they were a little bit under the gun, backed off?
It did become an issue, and the police have been very concerned about that, so I'm not surprised. But I'll say this, I don't doubt that it's a factor, but I think it's probably one of several factors. So that's why I think it's really important to look at the data and to drill down to determine, you know, the different factors that may be leading to that.
We don't know if the drop in enforcement of low-level crimes is, as we call it, depolicing, police just kind of backing off. But you mentioned there might be other reasons for it. What other reasons, if you were police chief, would you be looking at that might be a cause for this very sharp drop?
Yeah, I mean, I noticed, I'm just basing my thoughts on the newspaper article I read today, but, you know, they cited some other factors, relationship with the prosecutors, what the prosecutors are inclined to bring forward and what they're not. You know, I know when I was responsible for corrections in Massachusetts, at one point I was responsible for all the state public safety agencies. You know, we had a huge overcrowding problem, and we had to determine, you know, are there some diversion programs that would make more sense? I mean, should we be working on prevention and intervention programs rather than just enforcement programs?
Is it possible that misdemeanor crime has just dropped that much?
I doubt it, to be honest with you. I mean, that's a remarkable drop. You know, I'd be very surprised if that's the case. So I think there are probably a number of factors that have led to that.
Kathleen O'Toole, why is enforcement of these low-level crimes important?
If you look at some of the research dating back to the 80s and 90s that people like George Kelling did on broken windows, you know, the conclusions were that if you don't deal with the low-level crime, that eventually it leads to this sense of disorder, and it's an invitation to more serious crime. So, you know, I think it's there's research to support it, but also in my personal experience out in the neighborhoods with people in different cities, you know, they complain more about the low-level crimes than they do about the more serious crimes. The more serious crimes are acknowledged and addressed and recorded, but the low-level crimes are often ignored.
One of your big jobs, if you become the police chief, will be dealing with reforms to meet this consent decree from the Justice Department. And you have a little experience here. You were hired as an outside expert in East Haven, Connecticut. There was also a consent decree because the Justice Department found a biased policing and excessive use of force there. I'm sure you know something about the complaint that was filed here and what it said about Seattle police. What would you do when you came in to address that part of your job?
Well, I should mention that I've had experience with the U.S. Department of Justice for many years now. Back in the late 1990s, I was a subject matter expert for the Civil Rights Division on the New Jersey State Police case. It was a police profiling case, and I know exactly what has to be done in these cases. In East Haven, Connecticut, we've really established a great team with the Justice Department, the U.S. Attorney's Office, the police chief, the mayor of that town, and everybody's working in the same direction, and we've made remarkable progress in a relatively short period of time.
Kathleen O'Toole is one of the three finalists to be Seattle police chief. She used to be commissioner of the Boston Police Department. I want to drill down on one aspect of the reforms that are being encouraged by the federal government in the Seattle Police Department. Last month, the federal monitor overseeing the efforts made what was described as a stunning indictment of current Seattle practices and systems. And among the problems identified by Merrick Bobb, that the Seattle Police Department, he said, was 20 years behind major law enforcement agencies that have computerized relational databases for tracking, managing, and analyzing officer performance, end quote. Do you agree with that conclusion of his? Did you get a chance to see what's used here in Seattle and make an evaluation of it?
I haven't had a chance to see it firsthand, but I've certainly read the reports. I think technology has to be updated in the Seattle Police Department, and I think it can be a huge asset. I don't believe that technology tools should be the driver. I think that we should buy technologies to be tools to support our business. And I think, for instance, you know, we revert back to the beginning of our discussion where you talked about this report that was just issued today. With the right technology tools, a police leader should have a dashboard that shows exactly what's happening and what the activity levels are and what crime levels are, and that should be real-time information.
Could you give an example of how having an up-to-date database about what police officers are doing can give you, as police chief, actionable information, stuff that you'll do something with?
Well, I think, for instance, early intervention systems that are now available and they're used to detect anomalies so that, you know, if a police officer has an extraordinary number of arrests or an inordinate number of use of force complaints, you know, right away that would trigger a warning signal so that the police chief or the supervisor could pay particular attention to that officer.
Last week, we talked to a former Boston Globe reporter, Donovan Slack, and she said that during your time as police commissioner in Boston, some of the rank-and-file officers felt you were too involved in policies and procedures and that you didn't know enough about hands-on policing. Do you find that criticism valid?
I don't know why Donovan Slack would say that. None of the police officers ever said that to me, so you know, she's certainly entitled to her opinion. But it's somewhat interesting because I think it's presents a very contrary picture of my style. I spend as much time out in the field as possible, and I think if you talk to the rank-and-file officers in the Boston Police Department or even the union leadership there, I was a very visible police chief. In fact, if anything, I'd probably criticize myself for not spending enough time in the office.
Police officer union contracts are very detailed. They get into all kinds of stuff about how and when an officer can be disciplined. Have you had a chance to take a look at the current Seattle police officer contract?
I saw some excerpts of it, but again, I haven't looked at the entire contract. When I took over as police commissioner in Boston, there were dozens of unfair labor practices, and I asked the union people to sit down. We talked about it, and I said, let's wipe the slate clean. Let's at least try to start in the right place and engage in conversations. I never felt as though I gave the store away as a manager, but I thought I was very fair. And I think the union came halfway, and we were able to resolve nearly all of the unfair labor practices that were pending to the mutual advantage of the city and the unions. So they are complicated agreements, but there's no substitute for sitting down, you know, looking people in the eye and dealing in good faith. And you know, I think I have a good track record on that level.
That's Kathleen O'Toole, one of the candidates for Seattle Police Chief. We've talked to all three candidates this week. You can check out what the others had to say at KUOW.org. And Mayor Murray expected to announce his final decision this Monday. It's The Record on KUOW.